This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Stroud takes the snap. He wants to throw on first down. CJ over the middle. Got a man across the 40, 45. Schultz down at the 48-yard line, left sideline. The tackle by Williams. Big play, 28 yards to Dalton.
You're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you on a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday after the Texans fall 24-22. That was the longest pass play of the game for the Texans, that 28-yarder to Dalton Schultz, and that happened in the first quarter. The offense, I mean, obviously the passing offense isn't the only part of this, but the passing offense in particular felt like it was going to be the forward-facing aspect of this thing.
For
Joe
sure.
Mixon comes in, but it was like, oh, man, yeah, Joe Mixon will tote that ball, but he'll also get in here and catch the football as well. This is supposed to be a high-flying, at least it felt like, you know, we got ourselves into a lather about the idea this would be a high-flying offense. And, of course, one game does not a full, you know, picture of a season make. However, having less than 100 yards passing in this game, 86 yards passing in this game, it just feels like it's way far away from what anything that felt in the realm of possibility. And so why isn't this offense, particularly the passing aspect, but this offense in general, clicking in the way that it seems like it should, particularly in this game where you match up against a really good Green Bay team, or at least a good team that you're facing off against comparatively to maybe some of the other teams that you faced?
Here's why I think that's such a good question, because it's not just because of the offensive line. Like, there are numerous cases,
correct?
When he does have time, C.J. Stroud. He has bought time, perhaps. There are open receivers. There are they're not. And the offense has just not clicked. So the easy answer is the offensive line. And I think ultimately the big answer that they have to come up with is the offensive line.
And how you get that offense line to be better.
Exactly.
I don't know that anybody that you have in the depth chart wise is stepping in and giving you a better opportunity of success, right? With all due respect, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you start thinking about the idea of Jarrett Patterson, who is probably the most veteran of the guys that are not playing, like maybe Kendrick Green, but I don't know how great you feel about that. Does Jarrett Patterson, is he able to step in some ways and help you maybe slide him to guard? Is that something that you could do? But I don't know if that necessarily.
Well, how sad is it that this is where we are?
And it's not good at all, right?
I mean, just how sad is it?
This is a pretty well-paid and well-invested in offensive line. And coming into this game, last time I checked, by one metric, they're dead center, like 16th offensive line-wise in the NFL. Like, that was getting rather mediocre performance, and this felt like it was below average in its performance as well. So, yeah, no, that was tough, and to the point where it felt like it shell-shocked your quarterback. And in this game in particular, he had a few errant passes that felt like, I think you could reasonably question if they were impacted by just the general lack of comfort that he felt in having to move and escape and manage pressure time and time again during the course of
the
game.
I think so. I brought it up with you guys earlier. It's the first time where I didn't necessarily like worry that he was going to get hurt. I worried that it was in his head.
Yeah.
You know, he bailed a couple times earlier than I thought, than I've seen him in the past. I'll put it that way. He threw one pass on a third down that was in the dirt, which was so unlike him for a guy that's as accurate as him. So, yes, the offensive line, if it plays better, protects him better, the passing game gets better. And that's what we're talking about here. But it's not just the offensive line.
No. One of the things that people have talked about, and I know Dalton Schultz ends up being a lightning rod as of recently, in part because of what's perceived to be, like a lack of, energy, effort, juice, willingness, whatever the right word is there, right? And I'm not here to parse that necessarily, just kind of putting that out there as the kind of landscape of what we're looking at. I saw some people like Stover needs to start. And yeah, man, I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know about that either. Like, you've seen kind of some rookie things out of Stover as well. And maybe you could say there's a little bit more willingness to go out there and hit or what have you. But I don't know that I've seen a tight end in Stover that's like, yo, this is that much better. And so it really feels like the fullback by committee thing that they've tried to do, or maybe just missing British Brooks a lot. That's tough. Like, I don't think you're getting the effect that you want there. And also, it just, outside of the fullback and blocking aspect of it, it does feel like they're in some ways just missing Brevin Jordan, which I didn't think that would be something I would say in this with this level of gravity.
Me neither. but that's a really good point. Like, the whole tight end as a, or, you know, a back that's not necessarily a pure fullback as the fullback, that was an experiment. Like they haven't really done, they didn't do it last year, you know. They,
no.
And so it's kind of like a little bit of an experiment, and it hasn't really worked the way they've wanted to. Then, of course, you have the offensive line. And then I was thinking about this. Don't you wish that you could go to a DeMeco press conference, which, by the way, the guys in the afternoon are going to have it here today at 2:30. Don't you wish you could kind of ask DeMeco Ryans like you would ask your friend about someone? Like, I wish I could go to DeMeco Ryans and say, hey, what's up with Tank Dell? Like just make it, just keep it very basic, you know, very straight. Hey, DeMeco, what's up with Tank Dell? Because that's what I'm feeling. Let me ask you guys, what's up with Tank Dell?
I don't have a great answer there. Like,
you know,
because, I mean, he made one of the plays that we're talking about that looked bad in the course of this was that drop in the end zone that would have helped you have 7 to start the game off.
Mm-hmm.
And he made that exact play almost.
Yes.
Like, I feel like if you put those over and overlay them, like, you know how in pitching where they'll overlay pitches
like the ninja?
To see the tunneling that happenings. I feel like there's a little level of football tunneling that could have happened because they felt like that was the exact same play. Just one was brought in the week before, and this week he did not bring it in. But yeah, Tank just it does not seem like he's able to be effective. And that's the thing. That's one of the things that we're talking about in the course of trying to figure out what this offense is. He's supposed to be the guy that's capable of being like a 1A, 1B, or whatever the designation is that you'd like to make. And it just feels like he's not playing up to that level. And I don't know how much of that's him individually or the offense and the ways that he's being involved. But ultimately, it's not, you're not coming away with results in a big way. And that's real frustrating. I know that last week I mentioned it, and I need to go back and be able to see it. It feels like there's not some of the kind of ways that they're utilizing him. Like, I've been interested in seeing Dalton Schultz kind of get more seemingly deep opportunities, or maybe the deep opportunities just aren't there because you have the two high safeties, and so wide receivers are running those guys off, and Dalton Schultz ends up getting the best looks deep because that's the next best thing. But it just feels like they're not having as many opportunities to get Tank Dell involved, and the few instances that he has, it hasn't really like broken into really, really explosive plays.
And is it even his fault? You know, the scheme,
I don't know.
The blocking, the combination. Is Nico that important, you know, for these receivers?
Well, yes to that. Nico clearly
is that important.
Yeah. Like, one of the things someone else mentioned on the text line, as you can always get involved with the program, 713-572-4610, it feels like you need a bigger wide receiver. And I don't know that, hey, you're just like Xavier Hutchinson out here to change this.
Mm-hmm.
But it does speak to the ways in which you could feel comfortable giving Nico Collins throwing the ball up to him with somebody on his back and knowing that he'll come down. And it does feel like you might have lost some of that. Maybe the guy that you would think in theory fits that profile a little bit would be the tight end, and he is not really giving you the confidence that that's going to come.
Well, we've mentioned the tight end. You know, after that 128-yard catch, he was out.
And I mean, say the tight end. I really do mean the tight end position and all, but,
no,
like,
but I'm talking about
Dalton in particular.
Schultz.
Yeah,
one catch, and we're like, okay. And then all of a sudden, you don't hear from him again. Tank Dell, 0 catches on 4 targets. Stephon Diggs, all right, he had some catches. Been 23 yards total in those catches.
So let me ask this question again, which I asked earlier.
Robert,
do you have faith in this wide receiver core? Are you worried about it? Are you
yes
hopeful about it?
Yes. Let me put it this way: not my words, their quarterback's words. Five-headed monster. How many times this year have we seen any semblance of a five-headed monster offensively? The answer is 0. Right.
Yeah, and I do wonder how much we were just getting over our skis in general with the understanding that there's only one football. But it does feel like you're – I don't know. I hate to be the one who's like constantly who's like feeding this. Almost, it feels like it's grown. The Bobby Slowick pitchforks have been gotten out.
No,
a lot.
It's out there.
But hey, man, it does not feel like this has been a well worked offense all the way around. Even in wins, right? Like, because I know that it's very easy to look at this and feel like, hey, this is something that's coming from a loss that you were very close on. Chill out, guys. Everything will be fine. And maybe so, right? However, we've seen the issues with this offense getting to this place in multiple weeks prior to this. Like, there have been issues to point to. There's been offensive line in particular issues all the way through. But even the passing offense hasn't always been in the place that you necessarily want it, per se. And a lot of that has been Nico Collins has been a little bit of a panacea in that way. But it really does start to make me wonder, like, how much of a particular schematic advantage is Bobby Slowick providing for you? Because I can point easily to the particular schematic advantage that Matt LaFleur is creating offensively. Yes. I can even do that defensively with Jeff Hafley, right? And maybe you can look at that and just say that the Packers defense played incredibly well. But it did not feel like an understanding that it's tough to make anything go if the blocking isn't there, right? I want to make sure that I give Bobby that. It does not feel like you're seeing a schematic advantage added to what's happening here, right? The two best players that we've talked about offensively, or three best, in fact, it's been CJ making things happen out off schedule. It's been Nico making things happen by being Nico Collins. And there's been Joe Mixon making things happen by, you know, it feels like there's a lot of individual brilliance happening rather than things happening because the scheme is creating it for them.
I couldn't agree more. And back to the offensive line, you get the offensive line any semblance of good, because it hasn't been, you know, and by the way, they've all been, for the most part, on the field. You know, the two games where they were the worst, they had all five starters in both those games against the Vikings, gave up a 44 and then a 48% pressure rate. So the offensive line has to get better. I sure hope, though, that people realize that is not just it. And you just touched on it. Like, the scheme that Bobby Slowick, the way he's been getting these guys open, specifically wide receivers. I mean, Tank Dell has 20 catches. That's not what we expected through seven
games. Yeah, it's real pedestrian for the type of player it feels like he's capable of being.
Yeah.
And I acknowledge Bobby Slowick is the same coordinator who was here last year.
I know.
Who was, you know, it was all great. You know, it was all good just a week ago, right, in that way. But, yeah, it's real sad, and I know that sometimes we're coming in after a loss, and maybe, you know, maybe C.J. Stroud is right. It's never as bad as it looks in that moment. It's never as good as it looks in that moment. But it really, I think, this juxtaposition, looking at that particular team and the ways that they had handled up, I had real concerns, man. I had real concerns. I've been in this place before looking at a team, especially against the Packers.
What team was that?
All right, let me get out the dollar, right?
No, you don't.
Let me get out the dollar.
I did that.
The Dallas Cowboys in the postseason, right, looked like they got outcoached offensively or defensively versus the Packers, right? Again, maybe this is just the lizard brain in me reacting to fear. And defensively, it did not feel like you got like patently outcoached in that way. But it did feel like, you know, with the offense, and of course, understanding again that the defense or the offensive line, there's not a ton you can do when that's the case. But there's things that it feels like you should try in order to get that to happen. Like the screen, I know that they tried to get to the screen because you have a pass rush that's getting after you really quick. One of the ways to slow that down, throw it behind them, right? They tried the screen, and that didn't work. And I'm sure that you got to go, dang, they tried to throw a wide receiver screen to Diggs early in the game. That was sniffed out. And it just felt like time and time again, Jeff Hafley was ahead of your offensive play caller and your offensive approach. And that was the thing that's frustrating. I would like to dig more into this, like, video-wise, and obviously probe some of the football player guys that we have the great fortune of working with. But it just feels like, man, you're not getting the advantage, the schematic advantage that you imagine that you get by having a guy like Bobby Slowick.
And I think, like, yesterday's game, when it comes to the line, sort of galvanized the thought of they're just not good after this many games and this many problems. They're just not good. But it wasn't new for them in terms of scheming up ways to help the offensive line, ways to help the blocking in the backfield, whether it's a fullback or tight end or whomever, ways to scheme up plays that maybe, you know, assist the offensive line and the pressure and all that. So, like, as much as like yesterday is like, oh my gosh, they are bad, and as I said at the start of the show, they're going to be bad. That I mean, it's done. You know what you're seeing out there. As much as that's true, it's not anything new that they should have and probably have been trying to find ways to create offense that helps the offensive line issues. So they haven't done that. You know, obviously the New England game blew them out, whatever. But beyond that, I mean, they haven't been able to really, you know, scheme up a way to get the offense going despite the offensive line issues.
And even within that New England game, you had a point where it lulled and you needed a defensive play to jolt you to almost like a defibrillator back into the capabilities of playing offense. Like that frustration has existed, right? And people are pointing to the idea that maybe you're seeing a little level of predictability out of the offense.
Maybe.
Because I mentioned that Stephon Diggs screen. They read that immediately. Mm-hmm. They were able to blow that up for a negative one, 1 yard loss. And that's in part because, I mean, you have Laremy Tunsil trying to get out from left tackle out there to block, which that's been a thing that consistently happens that I do wonder how effective it actually is, him getting out there and blocking a little dude on those types of screens. But also, they're sitting there. They know exactly what's coming, right? And on top of that, they're able to take, you juxtapose that with the amazing disguise that you see from Halfley's defense for the Packers, where apparently, only 82% or on 82% of the Texans dropbacks, they rushed four.
Yeah, that's scary.
That's a crazy
thing. That might be the scariest stat.
Because it seems like there was free rushers on so many more plays than just like the blitzed ones. And it feels like that speaks also to the inability to protect. Obviously, not like you're not executing the protection, but getting your protection in there properly and then also going out there and executing.
That's probably the scariest part of all. And again, shouldn't have come as a surprise, didn't come as a surprise. They just haven't been able to get this offense going.
And that,
the receivers.
And that's a real frustration because your defense can do a lot to keep you in these games. And I guess it's probably a credit to this team that your defense did all that. Your offense had real, real troubles. You didn't even throw the ball for 100 yards and you still had an opportunity to win it. I think that is obviously an encouraging things, but the more and more teams that you play at this caliber and higher, the more that becomes a problem if you're not capable of generating more. And so maybe the answer is just Nico Collins returns. I don't know. But as of right now, you still have some time before Nico Collins returns, and I would like you to get a lot better at this. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. It's about that time where we turn over to my guy Fig for the mixtape. Figgy, what we got?
Yeah, so in honor of Deshaun Watson getting cheered as he was down and out on the field, what are some moments in life you kind of cheer for, even though it might be a bad situation?
Mm. Ooh, okay. Let's get a little more negative, I guess.
Let's get dark. Let's get dark.
All right. We'll do that next in the loop. Sports Radio 60.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
What are you doing, Figgy?
Oh. Yes, it is Figgy Smith's Tape on the Loose Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Monday. And that audio, I'm going to explain what that audio I just played, and we're going to get more into this later on. But that first cheering that you heard was because Nick Chubb was back on the field. Nick Chubb, running back for the Cleveland Browns, who suffered a bad injury last year. First time on the field this year, so he got a lot of cheers. But that booing you heard was Deshaun Watson during introduction. So he was just running out on the field, and he was getting his ass booed. That wasn't even the injury. That was just him showing up.
That was just normal.
Yeah. But later on, I'm going to get to some, I guess, moments in life where it might be a bad thing that happened, but you kind of cheer just to, you know, cheer or laugh mm-hmm. about it. But I want to get to this real quick. So last week on Figgy Smith's Take, we talked about the black phrases versus the white phrases.
Yeah.
And one of them Lopez wasn't really familiar with, mm-hmm. which is I'm not the one or the two.
Yeah.
So I want to play this real quick. Shout out to Abbott Elementary. Great show.
Fantastic show.
And they, I guess a parent sent a letter to the school, and that parent said exactly that.
Dear Mr. Hill, I know that's wrong. According to the district's website, my child doesn't have to be sent home until the end of the day. I'm not the one or the two, so please send my child home at 3. Try Jesus, don't try me. Is this a riddle?
I got it. I'm so glad you brought this up because that's the latest episode.
Yes, it is.
That's the latest. Yeah. So I record it and I always watch it. And
record it. You don't have a streaming.
Well, I mean, it's recorded, I should say. But I never.
My man got his TiVo action.
No, not a TiVo. I'm beyond that. But hand to God.
I said, let me set up the Betamax right quick.
Hand to God. I told my wife, I know what that means.
See, in the loop.
It was
doing a public service.
I know what that means. I know what that means.
I saw that and I thought of you.
Yeah, that's hilarious. It was this past week.
Yeah.
I was like, I know that.
He's so proud of it.
I was.
I'm not the one or the two.
Yeah.
So send my child
home.
And then
he goes, is this a riddle?
So did your wife know what it was?
No.
She had no clue?
No. No.
Okay, that's really a black thing.
Sometimes I don't even realize how many that felt like it was relatively
it's totally
self-explanatory, right?
That's what I thought.
I thought within tone you'd pick it up pretty quickly what was happening there.
No.
Okay. My bad.
Shout out to Abbott Elementary.
Good shout.
So I got a list of moments of some some moments where people might kind of cheer and laugh and be excited about, even though it's a bad moment. Like, it might be kind of like a bad moment where you shouldn't cheer.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, this is a bonus one. This one I just came up with, just thought about. When people clap when somebody's in a restaurant and they break a dish or something like that.
That's a good one.
I never understood that, man.
That's a college thing. That's a high school thing.
Yeah, so you hear a plate shatter and then everybody start clapping.
Yeah, I don't like doing that.
Like, what's the purpose of that?
I don't get it. I agree with you.
But I'm going to go down this list real quick. I want y'all to react to it.
Okay.
Me, personally, seeing a kid that's acting the ass in public somewhere where you finally get a spanking or a whooping mm-hmm. or get talking to, I'd be happy about that. Like, thank goodness, man. Like, no, whoop his butt in front of everybody. Embarrass him in front of everybody since he want to embarrass us.
Yeah.
So that's one. This one, I see this quite often. So I'm driving in the school zone. Mm-hmm. Everybody else around is driving in the school zone.
Oh, yeah.
Going slow. And this is one jackass that want to weave through everybody.
Yep.
Like, we the ones in the wrong.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. A couple miles down, you see them pull it over.
You do that as if you've heard it a couple of times.
Yeah.
I can neither confirm nor deny. No, but I didn't realize. As soon as you started saying it, I was like, oh, yeah, I do love this.
Yeah.
I do love this feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
When that one dude is being a jerk.
Yeah.
Whether it's the school zone or if everybody's going like a pretty solid, like, you know, everybody's cruising a little bit over the speed limit. And then this one jerk is just zipping.
Like, you wrong.
Yeah.
And so you drive past and like, that's what you get.
Yeah.
That's what you deserve. Yeah,
exactly.
That ticket.
Honestly, in an even nastier way, I feel like, you know, the person with the dented up car, they go and mess around, get into it or something. It's like, that's what your car look like.
Yeah. That's why your bleeped up now.
Mm-hmm. That's why your car look like that.
Another one, this one, I think this is personal for me. Just seeing somebody try to open up a can of a soda or something, and they just splash everywhere.
Oh, why?
You like that?
That's mean.
It's kind of funny, though.
It is, but
it's kind of funny where you're like, man, I should be laughing at that, but that was kind of hilarious.
Little window into Figgy's world there.
Shout out to Charles. Charles said on the YouTube, going home from work on 610, see it all the time.
Yeah.
Y'all be safe on that loop, man.
Another one is when somebody just bragged about, oh, I can fix that. Something broke. Oh, I can fix it.
Yeah.
They try to fix it and they break it even more.
Yeah, just the too big confidence.
And you just sitting there like, see?
Yeah.
Like, what you doing, man?
Outsized confidence. Especially if they're being jerks
once or twice.
I bet you have.
I got you. Oh, wait a minute. That's really bad.
This one is one of my favorite ones. And like, Lopez, I think.
Oh, why can't you do it? Man, I could do that. Oh, no,
yeah.
I can't.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah.
See, now what? Mm-hmm. But this one is one of my favorite ones. During rodeo season, one of my favorite things to watch is the kids doing the mutt busting.
Finish the sentence that you wrote.
Yes. All right. So seeing them fall down, start crying a little bit.
Start crying.
Yeah. Where you... Everybody in there kind of laughs.
Figgy, you don't even have to. You have narrowed this down too far. Lopez, I have written down a word on my paper. I wrote this down a few minutes ago. That word is...
Falling.
Falling is always funny.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It is.
I will not... Actually, I said I'm sorry. I will not apologize for this. I will make sure you're okay. Yeah. But if you fell, I am laughing. Like, falling is always funny. I will not stand down from this take. And so, even if it's the
baby...
Hope
you don't get hurt, because it's funny.
Right. If you're seriously hurt, we can't do that, right? Yeah. Obviously, I want you to be okay. If you're not seriously hurt, I am laughing. Falling is funny. Yeah. Sorry.
You know what's funnier than watching somebody fall? Watching somebody almost fall.
That's a good
when
one.
When they almost fall, when they stumble, but they catch themselves, that's a little more funnier than the actual fall.
That's a good point.
That is.
But yeah, I like seeing kids fall off of their little sheep or whatever that is, and they just be in the camera crying, trying to wave.
It's kind of funny.
I'm like, that's funny.
Wait, Figgy, someone from the 281 said, I'm a Gen X white dad and not familiar with Not the One Meeting as I miss the segments. Educate me, a middle-aged dad, please. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so Not the One where... Let's say your kid is trying to call you out or something, and you say, you know, I'm not the one. Like, no, I'm not the one to be messing with.
Yes, that's the fullness of the phrase is I'm not the one to mess with.
So I guess black folks put a little extra on it.
Yeah,
I'm not the one.
I'm not the one to mess with.
Or the two.
So you shorten it. I'm not the one. And then you exactly take it to another level.
I'm not the one to be messing with. Or the second one. Or number two. So pick my kid up at three.
So go ahead and use that to your heart's contentment, I guess.
Yeah, please use I'm not the one or the two. Another one I kind of get a laugh out of. Honestly, we see a lot of this in Houston, a lot of high speed chases.
Oh, yeah.
Where you just kind of not in a bad way, but you kind of root for the person that, he about to get away.
He's jumping over a fence.
Yep. And you just know this cop about to whoop his.
He's got no shot.
Yep. Oh, that's the way you root in the high speed chase?
No, I don't root for them to get away.
You just know he's got no shot.
Yeah, I know you got no shot.
Yeah.
And you just looking at him like,
No, I root for the lengthening of the chase.
Yo, lengthen it all you want.
100%.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie. Yeah, I'm with you, right? Like, you get the cop running, and look, all due respect to the officers of the law. But I know if there's one thing the cops hate, it's paperwork, and if there's a second one, it's running. So I'm sorry. I find it to be funny. I apologize. I'm not a good person. I recognize this.
Yeah. All right, so this is another one that, this one really bothers me a lot, too. Seeing the person you work with trying to get folks fired, and then they end up getting themselves fired.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I laugh at that a lot.
Hey, man, like, water always finds its level.
Yeah, see, that's what you get.
Yeah.
That's what you get, trying to be all in everybody else's business. Mm-hmm. And now you got yourself fired.
Yep.
How about this one? That boss that hired somebody over you because you wasn't qualified enough, but now they are looking for the replacement for the person they hired over you. Because that person isn't good or quit.
Yeah.
So now you're like, aha.
Yeah.
If you would have hired me, you wouldn't have had
happens
to worry
all the
about
time
that.
Too.
Nothing like a little good comeuppance.
Yeah.
You know?
I was sitting right here.
Like, well,
right here.
Well, it's up for you.
Yeah.
Another one is seeing people. This is funny. It's kind of in the fallen category, but seeing people hauling ass from a dog. I don't know why that just cracks me up.
It's terrifying.
Much.
I think that's more of like a communal laugh, like a sympathy. Like I understand that.
Yeah, like
Is there anybody out there that's not had to run from a dog? Like I just thought about that. Feels like an experience that everybody has had in some way, shape, or form.
And on my bike,
right?
Even too. Yeah. Sometimes
I think the last time I ran from a dog, it wasn't recent, but it was like '09. Mm-hmm. It was like '09. So
that's
I was a grown ass man.
I thought, yeah.
Yeah, I was a grown ass man. And I was over this chick house. Never forget this.
Mm-hmm.
And her older brother or uncle tried to be tough guy and tried to let the dog loose. Yes. On the dog, it was a pit bull.
Oh God.
So I'm on the hood of my own damn car.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dog, like what is you doing, man?
That's nasty work.
I never forget that. But
running from a dog lets you know that you're an athlete way more than you realize. I had homies that when I was probably about, I don't know, 10, 11, jumped smooth over the bed of one of them big old trucks, like over the tailgate to get in while running from a dog.
You always got
to
get into the bed of a truck.
Yeah, it's smart.
That's the smartest move.
And I was in the moment that I'm thinking about, I was not the smart one because I tried to run home. I did jump smooth over like the steps though to the
to the door.
Yeah, to the door. But yeah, I seen them jump in the truck and I was like, oh, that's smart. I should have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the last one I got is when your significant other thinks doing something is a great idea and it totally go bad, where you be low-key happy that it went bad. We like,
that's every relationship.
Yeah.
Like,
you be like, I don't think this is a good idea. I think we should call somebody. I got it.
Yeah.
And it just...
But even just a decision you make. Like, I don't want you to do that. I don't think it's going to work. Oh, it'll work. It didn't.
Yeah, nah, that's one.
From the 713, Lopez taught me to say no to the dog. It works. They back off. Is that true?
Yeah, you stop and you look at him and say no and you point at him.
No,
most dogs... No,
buddy,
seriously.
I'm not playing with no dog.
No, it's...
Well, hey, think about this. Most dogs have been told that multiple times. You just say stop.
Yeah.
And you point at him.
I don't know if that dog's trained.
No, it works.
Some dogs, you got to cuss at the dog. Because my sister is a mail carrier, and she run across dogs a lot.
Her. Yeah,
and
they do.
Somebody had their dog loose. It was a big old pit bull. And start coming after her. She like, get the F back.
Yeah. No, get you stop and you back. Like, you're the, like what the owner would do.
Yeah.
Stop.
She had to
loud and or no or whatever.
Get your ass
try
back.
It next time you're chased by a dog. I'm telling you, it'll work.
Buddy, my internal programming says run. It's gonna be real hard to watch. Cause this is the thing.
I've actually done it.
There is a pretty good chance that you're right. Yeah. However, that little chance that you're not right. I'd much rather trust myself to just beat that dog.
You
on
gotta
the run.
Cuss at the dog, though.
You gotta be authoritative.
Get your ass back.
You gotta be authoritative.
Get the bleep back.
All right. So I was thinking of what you asked us to start this segment. Some moments that you might secretly cheer and laugh for.
Oh yes.
And I was thinking of examples, and one just happened. I want to say it's about a year or two ago. I was at a game. It was an Aggie game. Forget who they were playing. It might have been I don't know. It was a road game. And so there was this belligerent, drunk person talking loads of crap about everything and everyone around him. And
then he caught a two-piece and a biscuit.
Well, no, that would have made me feel a little good.
Those are good.
But I walked up to get a beer, like whatever, a quarter later or later. And he is vomiting everywhere.
Oh,
just
man.
All over, embarrassing himself. He vomited all himself. He's leaned over.
Apologies to anyone who might be on their lunch break right now.
He's dry heaving the whole nine yards. And I just walked by. I didn't say a thing. I was just like,
I really wish that story ended up with him getting a two-piece and a biscuit. Those are the ones. Like the dude that talked to him at the bar that's instigating.
Yeah.
Or how about the one that's trying to fight? The one
wants to fight everybody.
And the other guy's like, nah, man.
You don't want this.
And that guy ended up getting his ass whooped.
Yeah.
That's when you'd be like, yeah, that's what you get.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is another one of the answers that I will submit to this, Figgy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love seeing people get chased by dogs, man. I don't know why. Especially if it's a friendly dog, too.
Because the dog just thinks you're playing.
Yeah. The dog's like, oh, I'm about to chase you. Let's have some fun. And now the kid is terrified.
And to bring this segment full circle, from the 832, just tell the dog you're not the one or the two.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe that's what you need to do.
I will go ahead and still default to running. I appreciate you, though. You're listening to In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That is another daily dose of Figgy's mixtape every weekday, 1:20 p.m. right here on In the Loop. All right, coming up next, we get ready to hand it off to our guys from The Drive, Clint and Ron, and we'll do that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Second down and one at their 39-yard line. Love stepping up to the line. Three receivers left, two to the right. Empty backfield here. Will Anderson rushing from the right side. Here's the snap. Love trying to get out of trouble. Love is sacked. Tim Settle gets him first. And Love takes a big sack with 45 seconds to go in the half.
Yeah, man. Tim Settle. A dude who has flashed quite a bit in this game in particular. But over the last couple of weeks, one of the bright spots in unfortunate loss to the Green Bay Packers 24-22. It is a Reaction Monday. Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday. As we're getting ready to hand off to our guys in the drive, Clinton, Ron, I see them through the window getting themselves ready to prepare or to deliver you.
They're getting their heads together.
Fantastic show. Our heads will be together at Texas Star Grill Shop tomorrow.
Grill Shop tomorrow, 10 to 2. It's going to be fun. It's a good place.
It's right there off of Shepherd and 59, correct?
Yep, right up the road.
Come out and say what's up to the fellas. When I say the fellas, I mean me and
us.
John. That's such a weird way to say it. Why am I like this? You can find out tomorrow at Texas Star Grill Shop. Say what's up, get you some OG sauce, all that type of stuff is there for you. But we got a text in, I believe this maybe the last segment, within the last hour, mm-hmm. that was like, coming at you in particular, and I'm glad about this. So
always good.
It'll be an ISO moment here in a second. but you came in last week, at this time last week, and you felt very confident mm-hmm. that this is a Super Bowl caliber team.
Update.
I'll be happy to update you.
Yeah, let's get an update on that. How do you feel about them now, and like, where do you think this team ranks in the AFC hierarchy?
So they asked me, do you still feel this is a Super Bowl contending team?
Yeah.
Yes. Like, the element, and this is where it gets so difficult and so important, Reggie.
Okay.
So important to get this line right, to figure something out, whether it's the approach, but specifically get these guys playing better. Like, they still have every element. It was on display against a great team yesterday on the road. The defense has started to create turnovers. Remember, we've talked about that.
Turnover defense.
If they start getting into that mode where it just sort of compounds itself and multiplies, then you're on to something. Well, that was the best turnover defense in the NFL going into yesterday's game, and you outdid them. You got three. So they have that. Obviously, the injuries have hurt them. But, you know, they still have the weapons, and we can talk all day, and we'll talk this week, I'm sure, some more about what's going on with, you know, with this receiver or that receiver, and Tank needs more touches, and how are you going to get him up? Yes, but in terms of, like, what they have a team that should contend. They'll be in the playoffs more than likely, and I shouldn't even say more than likely. They'll be in the playoffs. They're going to win this division.
Correct.
But it's...
Or will they?
No, they will.
Must win! Must win, Lopez!
No,
Colts! Texans! And RG
Absolutely
Stadium.
Not. So, like, you look at the squad and you're like, yeah, how can you say that after the way the offensive line performed yesterday? I get it. The offensive line is awful. I mean, there's no other way to look at it anymore. We're seven games in. They're bad. They're two teams, the two best teams they've faced, they've given up a 44 and a 48% pressure rate.
Is that good?
That's unacceptable that is.
Right.
But you look at what they have with Mixon. You can win with that. You're a contender with that, with C.J. Stroud. Of course, anytime C.J. Stroud's the quarterback, you're going to have a chance. They did yesterday. And then they were awful on the offensive line against a really good team. So, like, do I think that they're a Super Bowl contending team? Not unless the offensive line gets better, but they have every other element.
And that's the issue, is that you add that caveat, not mm-hmm. unless the offensive line gets better. And I've already established this, and I hate to continue to say it, is I'm not certain that I see the path forward. Now, mm-hmm. I can be a little bit less, I can have a little bit less foresight than some of those people in the building at times. And it's good that that's the case, right?
Yeah.
You would not want the guys directly in charge and involved with what's happening to have less foresight than me. But I don't know that I see the path forward in making them better, right? Because, mm-hmm. and maybe... maybe it really is as simple as they need to execute. They need to get these things right. Maybe that is ultimately what makes that happen, because we have seen at any given point one of those five guys put down a good play on tape. It's just you need to do it in unison consistently. The problem is they have not done it in unison consistently, maybe at all season. So that's the thing that is very frustrating for me. The game at its essence is about blocking and tackling, and they're not doing the blocking element of that well enough. And on top of that, like, there have been issues with other things. Like, you know, they have had issues with third down, and that continue with this within this. They have had issues getting themselves into third and short. That continues within this. There's a lot more things that they need to address. And yes, it's a long season, but it's getting progressively shorter as we move along. You have gone through 7 weeks of the season, which means there are 10 more games to be played. You're barreling towards halfway through the season, through midway point, and these issues still remain. Like, yes, they have an opportunity to get these things right. Don't get me wrong, but you're burning
daylight
in a big way, and some of the same things still remain.
Look, I also get, you know, I'm sure there's some people out there saying, yeah, they have all the elements, but that's a pretty big if, you know, the offensive line, because it's arguably the most important part of the offense.
Also, I got a lot of elements in my house to make a cake
until
I actually put them together. And utilize the right setting on my oven and the right timing on my timer, it will not come out as
a cake. But the difference is they have proven elements. But my point is, I get that's a pretty big if you're talking about.
Correct.
There, and I totally agree. But if they can, get something going with some protection, some game planning to protect them with the offensive line, like I said, they were in yesterday's game.
Yeah.
Could have easily won. And they were bad.
Now, I recognize some of this is a little alarmist for me. So in order to pair that back, I think it is worth acknowledging that I don't think I haven't seen a great team in the NFL yet.
Well, there's that element, too.
This is the thing that we keep talking about. But I haven't seen anybody in the NFL put on paper the capability of being just like downright great thus far. We've seen teams be pretty damn good, but I don't know if I've seen like great football from any of these teams. Kansas City, they're starting to put together what was really their blueprint from last year, which was really good defense, solid enough offense. You're starting to see some of that, right? Baltimore Ravens, the defense isn't quite in the same place. The Buffalo Bills, whatever you want to do with that, more power to you. The Detroit Lions might be one of those teams that gets closest because I've seen them, but I know how you tap into that one, which is pressuring Jared Goff. Like, that shifts all this thing off. So, like, I haven't seen those great teams, and maybe that's the thing that ultimately provides solace is the idea that, hey, nobody else is in a place where they're firing on all cylinders, and so maybe the catch-up room, if I could even phrase it as that, isn't as far. But still, again, I'm going to bring it back to the common refrain. The Texans are beating the Texans. It's not necessarily about who they're matching up with. So the Texans have got to get themselves in a place where they get out of their own ways. They don't shoot themselves in their foot. And they give themselves an opportunity to put their best foot forward.
Yeah.
Because if their best foot is forward, they compete with any of these teams.
The only thing I'll disagree with you on is Chiefs and Lions. I think they are head and shoulders. Lions, yesterday's win in Minnesota to be able to do that. After I think they were down 10-0 at one point.
Yeah.
And then the Chiefs, well, they're just great. You know, they find a way to win. And but that's just really sort of nitpicking. Otherwise, yes. I mean, you look at who's leading the divisions right now. Buffalo, you beat them and made them look bad. Pittsburgh, whatever. I'm not even sure they know for sure if Russell Wilson's going to be the guy or not. And then, you know, otherwise in the AFC, you've got a shot. But no, I think that is an element. Like, no one is just completely dominant. And I think it ultimately comes back down to, you know, Bobby Slowick's got to figure something out. Like to me, and this is how we started the show, there's no more maybe this isn't a good offensive line. No, it's a bad offensive line. We know that now. And if he can somehow figure out how to protect that, to game plan around that, to use Mixon, maybe his play calling in early downs around that, well, then maybe. But there's no more like, well, maybe this, maybe that. No, they're bad. They're bad.
Yeah, and they need to be treated as such. And some of the elements that you would hope to see against or see with a less than stellar offensive line need to be implemented rather on this team to try and mitigate some of the lack of offensive line blocking element or consistent offensive line blocking element that you've been able to get. We're about ready to welcome in our fellas from The Drive. Clint Ron will join us in a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday. And I would want to get into our question of the day, but that's also Texas related. I want to give you your full four hours to really lay out. And so I will take you to the mixtape where Figgy asked us, Deshaun Watson is getting booed. What are the instances where you're kind of happy and you're willing to cheer something that is, I guess, ostensibly a bad thing happening? I always posited the idea that falling is always funny to me. You fall, and if you're not grievously injured, I'm laughing. Like 10 times out of 10.
I like when belligerent drunk guy at the stadium gets his. I saw one the other day, last year, that was talking all kinds of noise, pointing at everybody around him. I found him up on the concourse just vomiting all over himself and all over the floor and having to be removed. I was like, okay, I'll take a little pleasure out of that.
Man, I was listening to y'all earlier too, and I didn't think to really wrap my head around that. I'm not typically a boo bird.
Mm-hmm.
So
I wouldn't say I am either, but it brought it out of me when thinking about it.
Yeah.
Another one that came up that was great is just, you see the person who's driving reckless.
Yeah.
Everybody else maybe speeding a little bit, but they start acting a fool, and then they get that whoop whoop.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
That one makes me feel good inside.
Yeah.
I would definitely the guy that blows by you and honks the horn and maybe flips you off, and then you, when you get up a little ways on a road trip, he's pulled over on the side of the road. I wouldn't hold back on that. I tell you, the traffic, the honking guy in traffic for no reason.
Yeah.
And like really mad at somebody, and I'm just like, well, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I had some old boy. I pulled in the streets, kind of in downtown area. I took a left and was kind of where they were parking on both sides of the street.
Mm-hmm.
Traffic couldn't go both ways because people parked on both sides of the street. This older man, I mean, I can see him coming. And he's not going to back up. He honks and throws his hands up at me, and I mean, I'm just like
a little showdown.
My man had to be 75. My man had to be 75. I said, well, "What are you going to do, man? Like, what are we doing here, man? I mean, well, just relax.
He still got it."
Got it.
Drop cup, he gives me the old nice wave.
Of course.
The old River Oaks wave.
Hey, thanks for that. Thank you.
Only thing that's tough about that is in Texas, he might not be planning on fighting.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah. Good thing I wasn't planning on I'm just like, what do we do? I'm just trying to meet my lady for dinner, a little date night dinner, man. Can you move your ass? Can you get on with your business?
mine is more specific.
I like that.
I enjoy when the parent who thinks his child...
Oh, no.
His or her child is a little bit better, a lot better than they actually are. And when their kid screws up in the game... They got to sit with it.
Even if they're on your team.
Even if they're on your team. Generally, it is mostly if they're on your team. Because usually they're always complaining over the top about their kid.
Yeah. Deserves better.
Yeah, deserves better, more touches. But when they kid gets it and then their kid messes up, I like to look up in the stands.
All right, so remind me to ask you in that first break who that story is about. but it is indeed a Texas Reaction Monday.
Little Bobby.
And these five fellas are taking
Little Bobby got his.
Through more reaction after the Texans lose 24-22. But right now, you're listening to KALT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, The Drive is live.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.